I am eager to hear what the beginning of 2022 was like for you. What was the mood and what were your thoughts?
The rumors about invasion of Russia to Ukraine were from December, and from different sources, Western press and analytics and intelligence, we still were not believe that they actually will do such a massive attack. So that it will be a full fight and wide fight. So we were concerned, I was concerned, but they were constantly moving the dates of invasion, and few times it was not happening while it should be should happen already. So we were pretty tired of it and decided to live no normal life, but to be ready for some actions if something will start.
So, what kind of preparations did you make?
We had a plan to first to be ready to move to we collected our bags to have ability to move fast somewhere from that place where we were. That's the main, and that's it, I think.
And on the morning of the 24th, were you still in your home?
Yes, I was at my home in Bucha town with my wife and daughter. At 6:40 a.m., my aunt, who lives in Kharkiv city on the northeast of Ukraine, she called me and told me that the Russia invaded and the war started. So I was shocked. I was shocked that it was happening. So, and after that, we started to exchanging news and thoughts between family, some phone calls with our relatives. Yeah, we decided to stay and not to do nothing in panic, and to wait to see what will be going in few days, how will be go. Maybe there will be no reason to move from that place. In the day, during the day, we started hearing the explosions in the air, like the aircrafts were flying, helicopters, and it was becoming closer and closer. By the evening, we knew that there was an active fight in Gostomel town. It's 7-10 kilometers from my spot. So we were we prepared some water in some water, some food in case that we will be out of electricity, and we had a full tank of the fuel in our car. So we were also continuing to preparing for something. Yeah, and after on the third day, Russian reinforcements were pretty close to our town, and I knew that I read from the news that two bridges from Bucha to Kyiv are blew up by our army in order to not to let them into Kyiv. So I understood after that they will stuck in Bucha, Gostomel and European towns, that and we have to move from there. We started so we collected our things, clothes, like very minimal amount. And we decided to move a bit western to the bordering town, Worzin, so where my wife's parents were living in the private building. So it and from our perspective, it was less interesting for Russian reinforcements from the war point. So we moved there and also spent there 3 days until on the third day in the second place we were blocked. First time it just blocked, and we were Russian reinforcements were around. We were hearing constantly explosives and explosions in the air in, and nearby on the land. Heavy vehicles were moving around back and forth on the main road. And we were blocked. We understood that it's dangerous to move from there. So we started prepare our cellar. We like put out from there like a potato, some food, and we made there like places to lay, to spend there a night. And we started spending the time when we heard explosions very close to us, like in 100 meters and so on. After that, we at some point we were out of electricity, like 2 days. So, but where we had a generator, we charged our devices. We were on the connections. We were in touch with our relatives, friends. I was in touch with my teammates from work. And one at the I think the fourth day. From our being in Worzel town, it was occupied by Russian army. Like we were about to leave this town, we saw the silence between fights. We got our things to the back from the cellar back to the house in order to put them to the car and drive out. And at that moment our reinforcements and Russian occupants reinforcements were very close, and they started fighting, and our house was under crossfire. So we were in between, somewhere in between. We heard heavy strikes of artillery, of tanks. Troops were running around and fighting, shooting. So some bullets were reaching our fence and our house. And we lay down to the floor. We were laying about like 20-30 minutes there until we found the time to go to the separate household building with the cellar that we equipped with the food, provision, water, and like laying place. So I grabbed my daughter, wife, and we moved there and locked. Our parents, my wife's parents, and almost 90 years old grandmother, they were not so fast and they cannot move. So they were staying by the evening. So it was around 11:30 a.m. started. And they were waiting for a silence up to like 9 p.m. And then they came for us. During that time, there was heavy strike into the fence of our neighbors, and our fence was damaged. We didn't see what the affected, but we heard very heavy explosions. So we were afraid. I was afraid for my family, that whether who stay in the house, whether they safe and so on. So luckily, thanks to God, they were safe. And they came to us in the evening, and they told us that there are no more fans. The windows are broken, and happily they are safe. So during the fight, some Russian troops were on our garden in our area, like running into and jumping into the neighbors' like territory. So they even were shaking our handle on the door, like checking whether they would like to hide or like to use it as a position. It was locked, luckily, and they were not trying to lock it out, to unlock it. So they just quickly checked and ran away. We heard them like speaking to each other. They were also like riding around on the heavy armored vehicle for troops. Yes, that's it. That was and then we spent like 3 days without leaving that building, that small building. It was So we were out of electricity, out of warm place, out of heat. Eating cold food, like just sausages and so on. We had enough food, but we didn't know how many time we will have to spend. So we were eating very small like pieces. There were constantly like fights and artillery hits. So first it was into our direction nearby, and then Russian troops came to our positions nearby and were aiming towards Bucha town direction. So during the first the next day, we found out that the Russian army, like they robbed our house while it was like semi-opened with damaged windows. It was something unusual for me, because what are they purpose propose what they came for a fight, for a win victory, or for the like to for the money and so on. So it was something that I couldn't understood their motivation. So they stole our electronics, techniques, gold, some money, not much money, but they checked all house. And a few days later we found out that they left our documents, and we were happy for that. Yeah, documents. And so also so after the epicenter of the fights were moved to Bucha, and the fourth day they occupants and like they moved from our positions, and we had ability to go out and to go to the big house and to take a food and to cook there, and so on. So they were still appearing from time to time, and we were hiding by the time.
Wow.
So we were trying to keep silent, and with a 4.5 years old daughter, it's a hard task because she doesn't really understands what it means and why to do that. So actually, it's a most stressful period in my life, and it felt like in a prison. So you were in a cellar, so nothing to do, no news, no connection, no ability to make a call. So I had and others like 20% left on the battery charge, so I was turning it on once per day for 10 minutes, trying to make a call to my relatives and get some news about my area, whether it's safe to exit or not, and what's going on. So, and time was moving so slow, like it was, for me, it felt like 6 hour like gone. I was looking at my watches. It was like only 2 hours, and there was nothing to do because it was also very dark. You cannot read, cannot play, and you have to be silent, so not to be spotted by Russian soldiers. So and the 6th day of being under occupation and being blocked, we found out that in the neighbor house cellar also is someone is living, and it is our neighbor, and it was an old man. He had a radio, and we had a batteries, and we can enable his radio and started to receiving the news. And I felt so relieved when I heard that Ukraine is still fighting. We given a strong resist. I was so happy. It was a new hope, because it was pretty tough. The hardest is not knowing what is going on. So we were continuing like few hours a day, like listening to the radio. We were attending how our neighbors and collecting like exchanging foods, cooking foods. We had hot food. We were preparing the water from the well on the street on our territory. So it become a bit better. At some point, there were also like few stressful moments. It's related to our car. So we had a car, and it was parked near the house under just under the roof. And first stressful moment that our key was stolen. We had two keys, and one of them were stolen. Was stolen. So we were expecting that if the occupants stole our like things from the house, they could back and steal our car also, and we were being not able to evacuate and exit there. So it was like we almost like said to our car goodbye. So we were not expecting that it will be or damaged or like taken stolen by occupants, Russian. So on the 8th day, there Additional, but I had a second key, so we were still able to exit when the situation will be appropriate. So this all the time we were like under constant strikes nearby, heavy hits, heavy shots to our positions and from our positions. And the 8th day, our place where we exiting, we fixed it, some windows. We fixed it, the fence, and we were like pretty more safe, at least behind from other eyes. And after that, someone left their car, his car, black BMW crossover, in front of our exit in our fence. So I realized that we were still not able to exit when we will be needed. So the version was that they blocked our exit intentionally to steal the car later. Well, but we were safe and we were trying to support each other to find the positive, the most positive moment that we were hearing that in all parts of Ukraine, our army, our reinforcement are giving strong resist. And our president also holds, and he is staying in Kyiv under great danger, despite the airborne was planned to reach the Kyiv, and despite the Kyiv city was one of the main targets for Russian army, and we were happy that Russian plans were not working, that our army broke their plans. So that was, I am proud of our army though. So we are so thankful for them for that they are doing. And one day, it was the 10th day, 9th March. One man, our neighbor, came to us and told that there will be an evacuation. So the green corridor for evacuation. So we were concerned about this information. We didn't understood where did he get it from? So there were
What does that mean? What did he, tell me more what he
he
reported?
reported that the our governments were agreed about the evacuation line, evacuation corridor that we can go to the center of the Vorzel town and there and evacuate and go out to the safe place to the western Ukraine, to the Kyiv first and to the during the visa special road, which is agreed by both sides. So it was unclear information, and we decided to wait for confirmation from official resources because there were a lot of news about the fake evacuation corridors, that Russia actually was evacuating people not to Ukraine but to Russia and Belarus. It was very dangerous to get there. So we waited for an hour until we for an hour until the we got a radio And from the radio, we heard that it's an official evacuation, and we decided, we had discussion, and we decided to try. It was still risky because Russian could and they could still not let anyone and or even shoot at the evacuating people. So we already heard about that from the news about the evacuations in the south of Ukraine. So we decided to try because we realized that every day it will be more dangerous and more dangerous to stay there because Russian army was blocked and they could not enter the Kiev actually. So, and they were concentrating in Bucha, in Gostomel and Irpin. Yeah, and we got our things, clothes, bags, some food for like around 1 or 2 days, water, and we drove to the point. That is great. Yeah.
Wait, so the BMW had left so that you
Sorry.
could
Yeah.
exit?
Yeah. Luckily, the black BMW, they left that morning. So they left that
Good.
morning, and we also felt relieved for that news. Yeah. Thank you for catching this moment. Yeah. And we were unblocked. Yeah. So we went out from the house. We were driving through the street, and we seeing the damaged houses, burned houses, damaged trees, something burned, and some pieces of vehicles. We saw one damaged heavy vehicle. We believe that it's occupants, it's Russians' vehicle. So there were no Russian forces. I don't know. They allowed to see civilian people to drive and to go to the point. At the point, I saw I don't know, more than 1,000 cars. Vehicles, lots of people, so all center, like it was long line, long queue of the cars and people on foot.
Nikolai, at this point, were you with just your
Yeah,
wife
I
and
was
daughter?
with my wife and daughter. My wife's parents, they were still spectating the situation, where and they were not ready, on the mindset.
Was that hard for you to leave them behind?
Can you please repeat?
Was that hard for your wife to leave them
Yeah,
behind?
yeah, yeah. It was very hard, but they didn't want to exit. So we couldn't tell them nothing about this. Like we were telling, but not. So they had own reasons to stay. And they were hoping that everything will be okay. And finally, they joined us l later. Okay, on their car. We at that point, lots of people, no one was aware what we'll do and when the evacuation will begin. After 3 hours waiting, the Red Cross cars arrived and picked people and. We started moving after them. So we passed Russian occupants' blog posts. Happily, they were not checking us and not stopping us, as unlike on the other evacuation places. So we were driving. We drove to the Ukrainian blog posts, Ukrainian side, Ukrainian-controlled side. So we were staying in the big traffic on the Ukrainian control point. So they greeted us very warmly. So our army, they were giving us food and water and were routing, explaining us where to go further, which road. So we entered Kyiv. We entered Kyiv and we stayed for a night in the in our friend's house in the Kyiv area. So and we started next morning. We started moving to the Lviv city. And we reached there in 2 days. Like we were staying like 2 nights. There were a lot of blog posts, not many, few oil and gas stations were working. So the deficit of the fuel, we had enough, but we had to plan our road from the one gas station to another one to continuously refill our tank. We for a second night we stayed in our friend's house apartment in Khmelnytsky city, and third day in the middle of the day we reached Lviv city, and we reached Doksimi office hub, where we were greeted warmly by our teammates. And parents, once they get news that it's the evacuation is real, everything is good, they decided to leave and they drove after us.
You experienced relentless trauma, it sounds like, for over 10 days. What was it like to finally get in the car and know that you could perhaps be safe and go somewhere? What did that feel
It
like?
was still concerning until we reached the Ukrainian-controlled side, because it could happen anything. So they can start shooting at us. So and while I was we were staying in the queue on the evacuation, so I was talking to people and they were telling me that the day before they were trying to evacuate by themselves on the another car, and Russian forces were staying at the any road cross and shooting at people in the cars, and luckily they were safe, but their car was damaged. They dropped that car, and that day that we were evacuating, they were on another family car. So that's it. And so many people lost their relatives there, and so.
So, how long did you stay in Lviv?
I'm still in Lviv. I for some time we were in the Doksimi hub. So thanks to our company for this opportunity, because there was not possible to find some place to stay. So,
Right.
and after like 4 days, we decided that it's better to for us to that my wife and daughter will go to the Poland. Somehow we found that we have our relatives in Poland, and they helped they helped to my wife and daughter to have, find a place and settle there. So now wife and daughter are in Poland, and I'm in Lviv, living and working. Yeah.
How long have you been separated?
Three weeks already. Soon it will be a month. Oh, maybe it's already almost a month.
Yeah. So, did you make that decision to secure
Yes,
their safety?
even in Lviv until the last week, there were airstrikes and sirens. So we were moving to the first floor, to the shelter, where it's safer to avoid airstrikes. And there were few close strikes to the Lviv area, so in Lviv suburban, at the some oil stations, big farms, army objects, military objects. So, yeah.
How have you been feeling the last 3 weeks? Do you feel any safer, or are you always on alert?
I feel much much safer. It's I don't know, ready, like patient, but it's pretty safe, especially in comparison to being under occupation. So under occupation, any moment, any wrong movement, you could die, or you can lost dear people to you. So I wasn't not so so it was my biggest fear to lost someone of them, of my dear people. So even not for me, not for myself, I mean.
So Nikolai, this I assume that really nothing in your life before this was anything like what you experienced starting February 24th. Is that
Definitely,
right?
I haven't been in such dangerous situations before.
How do you feel changed from this experience?
Interesting question. I believe at least I moved the border of the stress that I can bear. I have made some conclusions about like planning. So I would say it's one of them. I could say that it's better to plan by negative scenario, like even if it's not real. So often our emotions are fighting against us and against the mind. So to be thinking, to have a critical thinking. Yeah, and what else? Also like unnailed some values about what really matters in your life, like not the things, and but first of all it's people, the support, the love you can give to them, like to show and something like that. Yeah.
You mentioned earlier that you prayed. Do you feel, tell me about your spiritual life and experience in this traumatic event.
Yeah, we were praying. All my family, we were praying. We were praising him to save us. So and when I and the part of my family which whom were outside of the occupation, they were also praying for us because they were not knowing what was going on. We were out of connection. So we were hoping on the God, like so, and like hoping that I think that's the main. So I'm really thankful. I'm confident that it's his hand of help. He helped us really to survive and to exit that place safely. So, as you might know later, just a few days later in that area, Russian army started committing war crimes. So this even now called like Bucha massacre, and very lots of civilian innocent people were hurt and were executed and so on. So it's also a long story to tell.
How have you been able to sleep and eat and focus?
So we almost we had a bad slept because in the cellar it was cold, about 0 degrees and sometimes lower, 0, 2 degrees up to 5 degrees in Celsius. It was wet there, so all clothes are become were becoming wet after like 10 hours placed there. Sometimes we eat very small pieces of food, and because we had to divide people, divide for a long time because we didn't know how many time we'll have to have for this amount of food. Definitely it was not. We were eating little portions because even you cannot eat a lot.
Right. Wow, Nikolai, you have been through something remarkable. I can't thank you enough for being willing to go over those events and share them. I'm sure it does not make it easier to talk about it, to just be reminded of all that you've experienced. So thank you for your generosity. Is there anything you want to add
Thank
before we
you
close?
for interview, Mary. I'm very thankful. I felt that I'm very grateful to our owners of our company, to any teammate in my company that they are very helpful, supportive. Even when I was offline, they were sending me an SMS messages in the hope that once I will be able to receive that news that about they were sending some news about important news about evacuation. So I wasn't receiving that, and I received once I was in the spot of the evacuation, and I was so amazed by these people. So Doximit people, you are great, you are best. After that, many our American teammates were offering help, my teammates were reaching me out and offering like they to stay at their houses, to live there how many time I will need, and to provide any support. So
I'm so glad.
I'm so proud that I'm the part of such a great team, of the great people of the Doximi.
And I am proud that you are part of such
Thank
a
you.
resilient country.
Thank you. Thank you.
It truly amazes me. Nikolai, my prayers are with you. And thank you again.